You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton. We're here with Tom Crawford, our man in East Lansing, Michigan, a major Michigan follower and someone who knows the Wolverines inside and out. And he, despite his extensive knowledge, is waiting along with the rest of us and the rest of the world to find out exactly what Jim Harbaugh is doing. Tom Crawford, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm getting Harbaugh fatigue right now, JB, and I think a lot of other Michigan people are as well. And, you know, I'm in contrast to what I said a week ago. I said, you know what, I'm just going to navigate this thing. Whatever happens, happens. And that's, I still have that philosophy for the most part, but this thing is getting to be, I'm not saying it's getting to be ridiculous, but it's headed in that direction. These Knicks, this past Saturday and following two Saturdays are huge weekends in college football for 23 recruits, junior days they call them, and everybody's got 18 to 30 kids plus coming into your place, and then you're out on the road during the week. The coaches are, position coaches are, and the head coach. I don't know why this is continuing. I make a freaking decision and move on, whatever that is.
Yep. Well. We were just talking about Jim Harbaugh before we came on here, and I posited the fact that, you know, his thinking very well could be, look, I'm doing my job. I hired a defensive line coach. I'm recruiting. I'm telling parents and all it's status quo. So maybe I don't necessarily care what people think out there. But you're saying you probably should care because of what recruits might be thinking and others around them might be saying.
Well, absolutely, because these kids are going to put themselves in a situation, you know, a year from now when I'm a senior, are we going to be going down this path of uncertainty with this guy? I mean, he's under contract, and you know, it's like it's just obvious he's going to renegotiate it. But yeah, I just think it's not being totally transparent. I get it. He has the power to do it, but I here's what I want to know. If he leaves, everything's cool with me if he leaves, as long as it's an internal hire and Mike Elson stays on. And those three other, you know, those three Michigan guys, Ronald Bellamy, obviously, stays on, and Mike Hart, you know, those, I want that stability to be there. Josh Gattis, that'd be great. Keep that staff intact. John, this staff right now, in my opinion, is the best staff I can ever remember in Michigan football history.
Wow.
maybe that's an overstatement. Maybe that is. But at least in the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, this decade, this is a good one.
I've regularly said that this is the best staff that Jim Harbaugh has had. But yeah. You're out there a ways, you know. Now Jerry Hanlon and the whole 69 crew might
I get that.
I'm just throwing that in there to mess with you. But I agree.
I get that.
Very, very good staff. And given that, I think you're right. You want to retain this staff regardless of what happens. So I'm gonna throw three scenarios at you and you tell me what you think the result would be, as best you can project from Michigan football in the near and maybe distant future. Scenario one is Jim Harbaugh, we hear in the next few days, hey, on board, contract is extended, everything is good to go, just like it was last year, except for the addition of Mike Elston. what would be your thoughts on that occurrence?
Well, I mean, okay, so you want to know if Harbaugh leaves, what happens then? Is that what your question is?
Scenario one is we hear that his contract is extended here. Okay. Everything continues on just like it did last season, except with the addition of Mike Elston. How do you think that how would they be situated going into 2022?
Okay. I was thinking ahead of what I wanted to say about another thing. I think it would be terrific. You know, I think that's good. But you know what is also as good if Mike Hart is a head coach? You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you something right now, John, that Mike Hart leaving Tom Allen really surprised me because he thought the world of Tom Allen. I know that for a fact. Okay, from a really good source. Okay, so he likes Tom Allen. He's happy at Indiana, and he leaves to come to Michigan. That got my attention because I figured there had to be some other caveat there that, listen, you know, number 20, you're gonna get a shot. You're gonna be the guy to be the head coach when I leave. I just have this gut feeling that was part of the arrangement of Mike Hart coming over back to Ann Arbor, to his alma mater, to coach the Wolverines as a running backs coach. And I am not one of these guys. You have to be a DC or an OC to be a head coach. I know there's a hell of a lot of great position coaches that can move on from being a position coach to be a great head coach.
All right. You kind of anticipated scenario two, not necessarily with the head coach, your projected head coach that you name, but scenario two would be Harbaugh does leave, but Michigan either promotes from within or gets another head coach, but keeps the staff largely unchanged, keeps people in place. And it sounds like you could definitely live with that sort of scenario and think that Michigan could continue on and be pretty successful right away.
Live with it? I'd be just as happy, maybe even more. And I kid you not, because we're only 1 year removed from what our attitude about Jim Harbaugh was a year ago. Now, I know he's done some great things in the past year, but I got to see more sample size before I'm just totally, you know, tied into this fact where it's Jim Harbaugh or bust. And I just think these additions of the staff are huge. Now, my big question is, if Harbaugh leaves, if Josh Gattis doesn't get the head coach, is he just going to leave right then if Mike Hart gets it? I don't know, but you know what? That's fine, because I think I just want Mike Hart leading this team. I just do. I just do someday. I want him, and maybe the sooner the better. That's where I am right now, because I'm starting to get really fatigued with this BS, with this Harbaugh stuff, because I think it's a distraction to the program. I really do. And I, you know, most coaches don't want to be, they don't want to be the story. They want their team to be the story. Good coaches do. And he's becoming the story, and he's allowing him to become the story by not being totally transparent of where he's at right now and not having it trickle through some recruit's dad with unsubstantiated reports, blah blah blah, from the John Eubanks I don't buy into that crap. I want to know from him what he's going to be doing.
Okay. Let me allow you to become devil's advocate here in a couple of scenarios. What does Michigan lose in the short term by Jim Harbaugh maybe listening to his options but still going 100% full ahead on recruiting and preparing for spring practice and everything else?
Well, you mean in other words, we go for till the weekend or beyond, or how far are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's not good.
I think it's not good. It's not good because it can be leveraged against him. You know, I mean, 23s are coming in. You know, I mean, they're going to have their mindsets. 23s are committing right now. There's a lot of good 23s that are committing. And you need, I mean, Michigan State just landed a good 4-star. Michigan's landed one. I mean, this is the time when 23s come into play. Junior days are huge at the Power 5 big-time programs. And it started last week. And it's this week and it's next week and whatever, you know, right up until February. And I'm not sure when the next off period is. This is a critical time for recruiting. And what you're doing is you're causing all this ridiculous noise to come into play. And I just don't think it's good for the program. And you know, why not just come clean? I mean, that's what I think most people appreciate more than anything is transparency in this world.
Yep. I think, but I could also see a situation where he's listening and considering other options where you can't make an announcement right away. Anyway, devil's advocate number two before we move on to the third scenario, and that is simply this. What has you convinced that Mike Hart will be a really good head coach down the road or even as close as next year?
Well, it's more gut reaction than anything. It's the Michigan man thing, and that's probably not a good thing people say to do. But it's just people that I respect a lot who have been around him that I know, and it's their opinion. It's not my opinion. People that have been inside the walls at Indiana and other places. I just like the guy. I like the fire. I like the fire of Mike Hart. I go back to 2005 and he ran that zone play on the left side, going down the western sidelines, and he got tackled in front of the Michigan State bench, and he just, you know, pumped his chest right in front of the Spartan bench. Okay. That's what's missing in this program when it comes to Michigan State. And it's coming out and saying after the 2000 game and kneeling, because we know what Mark D'Antonio did with a moment of silence and how that all got, you know, how that evolved in a chain reaction of kneeling and all that stuff, you know, which some of it irritated me, obviously, but it got out of hand. But my point is this. I like that fire when it comes to Michigan State from Mike Hart. And he's a New York guy. He's not even an in-state guy, but he knows what it's all about. You got to make that game has got to be a bigger priority than it is, or you're going to get your butt kicked for two or three more years on top of it twice in a row.
Bottom line, you want to return to Michigan State in the years of Bo Schembechler, Gary Moeller, and Lloyd Carr.
Yes. Because I really, truly think that is as important as a Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. You got to own your state. Now, listen, the state of Michigan is not exactly stellar in talent relative to the rest of the United States in certain pockets of there's 8 or 10 other states that are really, really good football players that blow away the state of Michigan. I'll just say that right now. But my point is this. You got to own your state. You have to be the brand in this state. And you can't have Michigan State. Even you're getting, you know, get guys from Georgia coming up here. They can't go to Michigan State. They got to think about Michigan first. And I think Mike Hart is the guy to do that.
All right. We're going to move on to scenario number three, which would be if Jim Harbaugh lost and took a substantial portion of this staff with him, what sort of straits would that put the Wolverines in for 2022 and the near future?
Well, that would piss me off big time. I think that would be a total slap in the face. He's not thinking about his program. You're doing that right now. You're taking all your dudes with you. And you're stringing them along. No, I would lose a ton of respect if he did. I don't think he will do that, because I think what's going to happen is what we talked about. You and I have talked about this the last few days in text. I think it's going to stay intact, and I think you're on the line of thinking it could be Mike Hart as well, right, JB, as opposed to a Josh Gattis. Or what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure what would happen if it was right now. I think eventually you have identified the future head coach of Michigan. I do.
Yeah.
But whether, you know, it would be a lot for Ward Manuel to pull that trigger right now, because, you know, you haven't had a guy as an offensive coordinator for Michigan and that jump. Now, I'm talking about selling it to the public. It's kind of like Juwan Howard. That move was questioned heavily until it produced a Big Ten championship in year two. Now, if I think that you know, Mike Hart's a fiery enough guy, a smart enough guy, a good enough leader, and with having good people around him, I think he could have the same sort of success. And then that other problem gets taken care of.
I'm a head coach is like a leader of an orchestra. They're an orchestra leader. I mean, they know how to motivate their team. They know how to motivate their staff. They need to know they need to know how to not micromanage their staff, which Mel Tucker is very good at up here. He lets his staff, you know, if you work for Mel Tucker, you're going to do your thing and he's going to stay out of your way. And a lot of assistants and coordinators love that. And I think that's really, really important to do. And I think Jim Harbaugh finally got that, maybe year number 7. I don't think he got it earlier. Maybe that's why there was so much turnover. But I think Mike Hart can be that guy. And I think Ward Manuel, I got to commend Ward Manuel, that Juwan Howard hire, to me, was an absolute home run that had a riverboat gambler kind of aspect to it. I mean, he put himself out there, did, you know, Ward Manuel making that hire. Because I remember sitting in that media and a lot, you know, when we were there at Chrysler and we were kind of chatting before, it's like, do you think this is going to work out? I remember all those I remember all that conversation we had.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You think this will work out? I don't know.
Only the conversation that we had, but conversation that a lot of people were having. And, yes, you get the great feel good. Yes, you get the tears at the podium. Yes, everybody just thinks this is so terrific because he's got NBA connections and he's got connections that will help him in recruiting and all that. But until you see it play out on the court, you know, and at the slightest turn of things this year, we're shifting into basketball, which we were to do anyway. The slightest turn of things this year, you heard, well, boy, now John Beilein's guys are starting to float out of the program, and maybe it's all going to be downhill from here. I don't believe that for a second. You saw a shorthanded Michigan team play with great heart at Illinois, although the Illini are the best team in the Big Ten this year and pulled away from them. And obviously you follow that up with a solid win to play basketball. So I think that, the assessment that Juwan Howard maybe wasn't all we thought here in recent weeks was more born out of frustration. And I think that although this is a growth year, regardless, you were replacing NBA guys with college, with guys fresh out of high school, was a bigger task than what we expected. But you're right. There's no overall. Juwan Howard has proven that he can do the job.
Yeah, and as we segue into basketball, I'll take that baton from you, JB. We'll go into that. You know, my thoughts on the Illinois game. You know, as frustrated as I was still in that Illinois game with some of the half court sets, I thought that team played hard. I mean, it's like Phil Martelli says, yeah, when you say your team played hard, that means typically they lost, but they did play hard. You know, and that carried over into the Maryland game. You know, so the Maryland game on Tuesday night, you know, right out of the chute, you know, Caleb Houston, first trip down the court, he's that wing jumper that is his patented, that's his sweet spot, nails it. You can see the body language. I talked to him about the game after the game about that. He says, yeah, that was a real shot in the arm for, you know, it just got him going. And Juwan said the same thing. And then you found him driving to the hoop. And so all of a sudden, that was a great game. I mean, this wasn't a vintage Maryland team. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying everything's remedied, but I just think that Illinois game, we are going to look back, even if they don't make the tournament, it's going to be one of those games you're going to look back at least these kids are playing hard, despite going through the COVID. Hunter talked about how sick he was at the Michigan State game or the day before, and he wanted to play that game, and he got tested late, and how bad he felt. He felt dizzy down in Champaign. He couldn't play in that game, how frustrated that was for him. And then look what he did against Maryland, how well he played, and Caleb Houston played. And, you know, it's just like, wow, it was a great game on Tuesday night for the Wolverines, albeit a very sparse crowd. I was really disappointed in the number of no-shows on Tuesday night. It wasn't inclement weather. Everybody, the students are back. There's just a lot of lower bowl seats that I was disappointed in.
Well, I think, I mean, there might be more to that than what's going on just with Michigan. You know, the rules have changed about who's in, who's out. There are concerns by others about you know, the Omicron variant going around and a lot of people sick. So I'm not going to assign that all right. to people saying we're packing it in. We're not going to support this team. I'll be interested to see what kind of Chrysler crowds there are, because I think there are more factors, like I said, than just the fact that Michigan hasn't played as well as we would have expected to this point. You mentioned Hunter Dickinson, and he was one of the givens coming in here. He and Eli Brooks, guys that were not necessarily givens, all we made too much of their given status because of their high school credentials, Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate. I think those two are the guys that really could bring Michigan from, okay, this was just a growth year, and a good try, we'll put it back together in 22-23, and a team that has a chance to make the NCAA tournament. If we see more of the Maryland Caleb Houston, more of the Maryland, and at other times, Musa Diabate, these are guys that could really lift this team if they are, in fact, getting their feet under them at the college level.
Yeah, and let's not forget Frankie Collins, John. I mean, we saw that by the third or fourth trip down the court. He just took it, you know, 94 feet, just drove to the rail and put it and laid it in. And he had so many other moments in that game of sheer athleticism that he had. And Devontae Jones, I asked him about that. I always ask players about other players. I get that's the best way to get perspective from what people see in practice. And it's like, wow, it's mind-boggling what he can do, what we're seeing in practice from Frankie Collins. He is going to be a great Michigan guard. I'm making that statement. Maybe that combination, you know, maybe this is way I'm probably going overboard here, but a combo of Derek Walton and Caris LeVert, maybe little skill sets in both directions, I'm thinking. And if he can get his shot fixed, which is fixable because it needs to get a little remedied, he's going to be a great player. But you talked about Hunter and Diabate and Caleb. They all, you know, they will all get better. And I keep, you know, when I see what happens, you know, with Franz Wagner, all these guys doing such great things in the NBA who have left, you know, from last year's team or gone from this year's team, you know, three guys in the NBA, Shawnee Brown starting with the Hawks. Did we think that was going to happen? I mean, there's some crazy talent that left that team and Michigan's still adjusting to the void.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that they lost a lot of talent. And the expectation was, okay, but these are highly ranked high school guys. They're going to pop right in and do the same thing. Well, they haven't. And you're living with that. And, of course, you talked about your comparisons with Frankie Collins. Obviously, I don't have too high of expectations for him. All I want is by his junior year to be where Ricky Green was when he came to Michigan.
I'll take that, baby. Yes.
Yeah, you would. We all would. Look. Tell me where you think this basketball team, just as we wrap this thing up, where you think this team will be in a month from now. Will it be competing for that NCAA bubble, or do you think we're it's one of those years where we just have to kind of reset the expectations and say, okay, this is building for the future?
That's a great question. I mean, your question is this going to be like a 14-15 season? You know, when LeVert and, you know, Derek, you know, they were hurt. And yes. I mean, is it going to be that we're sub 500? Listen, ask me this question and I'll answer it anyway, but you know me, I'll answer it anyway. But I'll know a better an answer for this at about 5:30 on Sunday after that game in Bloomington. Because if they can take that energy, confident level of energy that they did at most of the, you know, up until the 7-minute mark in Champaign against Illinois, and then pretty much all, you know, 40 minutes against Maryland, other than a few minutes of a defensive letdown, then if they win in Bloomington, then they're right back in the saddle and they could make a run and get into this tournament. But if they lose and then you're down, you're back into the 2-4 range and you're only, you know, you're only one over 500. I mean, or you're not very much over 500 when you look at the non-conference. I mean, they were 7-7 going into this Maryland game. I mean, it's a little bit scary, like this might be an NIT year, which we cringe at thought what we're used to around here in Michigan basketball. But I'm gonna say that they're gonna make a decent run. It was Hunter talking to him on Tuesday. It was a different Hunter Dickinson. It's like he's totally reengaged. And I think the COVID really hit him a lot worse than people think. And if you get Brandon Johns back in this, back into the rotation, and maybe 10 or 12 minutes of positive contribution, then you got a lot of depth. And, you know, I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be a deep team. And I think that's going to be necessary as they go down the stretch.
Well, and the beauty of all this, we do get to reassess after Sunday. We do get to reassess on a week-by-week basis, yes. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll certainly know a lot more about Michigan's football situation very, very soon. We'll keep following it all for all of our listeners. And Tom Crawford, appreciate you as always, and look forward to the next time.
Always a pleasure, JB. We'll talk to you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.